This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
Another episode of Box Trick. I am your host, Matt Brady. Joining me once again is Mr. Adam Tiger Bomb, Funkmaster Adam. You know, what are we going by these days?
Well, I changed my Twitter handle recently to what I think will finally be my definitive Twitter handle. I'm just so indecisive with this stuff. But now it's King of Funk Style. But, you know, we could still go with Adam Tiger Bomb,
King of Funk Style.
Funkmaster Adam.
Okay.
You know, that's just the handle.
It's ever evolving. You know, I like it.
So. Yeah, hopefully this will be like it's kind of like the tyrant of Resident Evil. It just goes through different stages, and hopefully this will be like my last time ever changing.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Final form. It's your final form. All right, well, we are going to be doing some E3 roundup, talking about all the games. Well, not all the games, but a lot of games, and certainly the ones that we are most excited for here. I have a huge list of games. We obviously aren't going to talk about every single one, but we're just going to kind of go through a little bit and talk about stuff. So I thought we'd kind of start, Adam, with I think what was the first press conference I was at least paying attention to, which was the EA press conference. And really the two big games I kind of got out of that were Star Wars Fallen
yes.
Order, the Jedi Fallen
yes.
or Fallen Order one. Yeah.
Oh my God. I can't even begin to describe how I feel about it. I will admit, probably a little nervous at first because I just didn't know what to expect, and this was a game they had been in talks about doing for a while now, you know? And at first I think it was going to be like multiplayer. I don't know what the deal was, and then they came out and said it was going to be single player. You know how EA is with like with their business practices, with
right.
microtransactions and stuff like that. And not to mention I'm a Battlefront 2 fan. I still play Battlefront 2, but that was a mess when it first started. So we kind of just didn't know really what to expect here, but we've got this new, fresh, single-player experience. And another takeaway for me here is the character. His likeness is based on Cameron Monaghan, who was in a show I used to watch all the time, which was Shameless. He was I didn't watch Gotham. But he was on Gotham as, I think it was the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
But so that's great, you know, for him now to be involved in the Star Wars universe like this. But I am stoked about this, man. Oh, my God. I can't wait for it to come out.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like this generation's version of The Force Unleashed. That's just immediately what I saw. And I loved The Force Unleashed back in the day. Both, I think the first one was a lot better than the second one, and they were both relatively short, but they were still a lot of fun. And that's just immediately what I saw. It's set in the Star Wars universe, So, you know, it's going to be, we're going to be fighting stormtroopers. It's going to be Star Wars game. I mean, it's single player Star Wars on the PS4 is the easiest way to describe it. And that's something that I'm pretty much always down for.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of games are so focused on a multiplayer aspect, which is fine. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it's nice to have, again, something that's fresh, and we're having a nice single-player campaign just to feed more Star Wars lore to us, especially in a time where, once again, Star Wars is hitting a big boom period, if you ask me. Mm-hmm. I like the fact that there's yet Saul Guerrero in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of like we're seeing him and his band of rebels before they're kind of more radicalized, as we see them in Rogue One, which is a great movie, by the way. Arguably one of my top five favorite Star Wars movies. But I also like the fact that, I mean, if I've noticed anything in the Star Wars franchise, is that when we get a new movie or we get a new game, there's always some kind of new trooper type that we're kind of just introduced to. Mm-hmm. But with the way it's introduced is kind of like, oh, yeah, there's a new scout trooper, blah, blah, blah. It's like they've been here the whole time or whatever. But one takeaway for me here that I liked was at one point, I forget the new Jedi's name that Cameron Monaghan's supposed to be. I think it's like Cal something.
Mm-hmm.
I forget that. But he's in there and he's fighting what they're called Inquisitors.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're called Inquisitor troopers, and they've kind of got like those, like that double staff kind of thing going, which is cool. But what I liked was when Saul Guerrero arrives and first sees him, he goes, I've never seen a trooper like that before. So it's like you're acknowledging that the Empire is working on a new means to take on their enemies. It's not kind of like, oh yeah, watch out for Inquisitors. They've always been here the whole time. You know what I mean? So yeah, I like that. You know, it's kind of like they thought about it.
Yeah. No, I think it looks cool. One of the things I think that I'm going to enjoy about it is you touched on the fact that you played Battlefront 2. And in Battlefront 2, they had the main campaign where you played as Iden Versio from the Inferno Squad. There was a book that came up before it because they're now actually including these video games as canon material. And I don't know if we're going to get a book. It doesn't seem like it. But, you know, maybe they were waiting to reveal that they had a game. So I hope it would be kind of cool if we get a little bit of backstory on this character in a book as well. Because I read it. I did the audio book of Inferno Squad, and it was narrated by the woman who plays Iden in the game.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really cool. And so that was a really cool tie-in in the audiobook of the Inferno Squad book, and it leads up to the Inferno Squad campaign in the game. So I think if you play Battlefront 2, you wouldn't have to have read the book, but I think if you do, it's tied in really well. So I hope that we get something like that for this game. I think that'd be really cool.
Star Wars books were always good at that though, like bridging the canon like that and everything. And I think they did it not for a game, but with Rogue One, they came out with the Catalyst, which I think takes place before Rogue One. I didn't read it, but I heard it was a really good book. So that's cool. So yeah, I mean, getting one for this, once again, I not only think it would be beneficial for the game for us to get more invested in this character we're supposed to play as, but again, it will kind of enrich the Star Wars lore. The gameplay looks absolutely fluid, and you know your comparison to Force Unleashed, I think, is highly, highly accurate. It's like a more like a hyperbolic version of it, I feel. And the one thing I could not stand was I had to turn the comments off. Because people will look for any reason to hate on something, to find any like little flaw, and people are like, oh, the lightsaber mechanics are off, or oh, you should have more dismemberment. Sure, you might have seen a lost hand here or there and everything, but that's not truly what Star Wars was like all about. You know what I mean? And it's like, I saw nothing absolutely wrong with the gameplay mechanics. This looks like, because again, this is something they've been working on for years, and like I remember seeing game footage that by this point is arguably even been removed from what we're seeing now. Not to mention, this game still is not finished,
right,
by the way.
Right.
And I think that's another thing people need to take into account. But for what we're seeing, it's like, you could have fooled me because it looked so good right there.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I'm super pumped for this. Again, to me, it's the PS4 version of the Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Except that we got the Force Unleashed at the beginning of the PS3 360 lifecycle, and I remember seeing the trailers for that and looking at the gameplay engine, which was like blowing my mind, right? Because you're talking about going from like the PS2 to the Xbox 360 era, and seeing them like throw somebody through a table and seeing like the like they showed the engine, and you know, like, oh, you throw somebody into a tree and the tree will break at the right spot, and so you know, that's what, like, the Force Unleashed for me has always just been like, it was like this technical marvel back in the day. And that's how I feel about this game. I think this game looks amazing. I think it looks really good, even for being late in the PS4's, you know, life cycle. I mean, we'll talk a little bit later about the new Xbox and the PS4, but I don't know. I'm pumped for it. So there was another Star Wars game announced at the conference, and that is Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to be a new adaptation of Lego Star Wars 1 and 2, which already exist, and then what they had in the Lego Force Unleashed. I don't know if it's going to be a combination or if it's like a new game and they're just going to redo all that stuff.
I don't know. I kind of thought it would just be like an addition, really. But the way I see it is, hey, you just can't go wrong with another Star Wars Lego game, in my opinion. But what I find funny about this whole thing, though, is it's a conversation I think I've had with my brother quite a bit. This Skywalker saga of movies, which has gotten Lego games and stuff, goes in with, obviously, the prequels and the Galactic Civil War, the original trilogy and stuff like that. And, they had that big release after Lego Star Wars 1 and 2 where it's the complete saga. It's like, that's obsolete now, that name
is,
it's kind of interesting, you just kept coming out with more now, so here we go.
Yeah, now it's the Skywalker saga, so
yeah. Sign me up for
Yeah,
both.
I love the Lego games. Lego Marvel is my favorite of all the Lego games. I think it's really good, the first Lego Marvel. Okay, so let's shift gears here. We're gonna talk a little bit about the Xbox conference, because it was second. We're going to save Square Enix and Nintendo kind of for last, because I think that's where you and I have the most to talk about.
Yeah.
So some of the things I saw that were kind of cool at the Xbox conference, and they may have been shown to other places too, but just what I saw, I have to say, Minecraft Dungeons, I just saw it in passing, it seemed like they're making a Diablo type Minecraft game.
Yeah, how about that?
And I only saw a few screenshots of it, but I was like, wow, that actually looks kind of cool. It's not coming out until next year, but I don't know why, it just caught my eye and remembered it, and so I made a note of it. Did you see any footage of that?
I saw like a little bits and pieces of gameplay here and there, and what I took note of with this is I mean, I dabbled in the original Minecraft. It wasn't something I was super invested into, but it was a concept I liked, Like, when I was a kid growing up, it's like, I've always just liked building things. I was big on Legos, and that's just kind of how I viewed Minecraft. Dabbled in it a little bit, and I knew this was a game I was going to kind of become obsessed with, so I stepped away from it. But, my ultimate takeaway from that game that they showed is, Minecraft's been a staple in gaming for a while now, probably over 10 years, probably, I think, something like that. And just, I think for Minecraft fans that haven't really played that kind of style of game before, this is kind of a good gateway to maybe expand your, if you like that new Minecraft coming out, hey, maybe you'll want to play something like Diablo 3 on your Switch or something like that. So, it's interesting concept. It's a way to grow the franchise, so why not?
Yeah, Minecraft for me was a game that I looked at and I was just like, I should never let myself play that.
I know.
It's the same way I feel about The Sims, where it's like, I love The Sims. I can't. I'll get way too deep. You and I are big wrestling fans, And so obviously I'm sure we both play a lot of wrestling games. And for me, it's like the amount of time that I spend in character customization is
way more time.
And that's it with everything. Going back to playing Tony Hawk Pro Skater back in the day, making my skater, I was always like, no, I want this knee pad. You know, always just switching everything up. And
try to explore every nook and cranny you can to make any kind of ultimate creation. Whether it's like, whether you, you know, like sometimes you want to make a creation based off of you, so it's like personal to you, or sometimes you might just have like other ideas. You know, you might want to make alternate suits, like in wrestling games, maybe you might want to make alternate costumes for other people that like, oh, they wore this, but they haven't put it into the game though. So like, let me do that, you know, and you like, you're just trying to like push it to its limit. Dude, I even go back to some of those older PS1 games and try to explore like every nook and cranny I can like find in those games just to see what I could do in them.
I'm right there with you. Okay, so they're making a Blair Witch game.
Okay, this I don't know too much about, but like I heard about it.
Yeah, though. So I saw just a few screenshots of it. It looks to me like it's going to be kind of, in a way, similar to Outlast. Like it's going to be a first-person horror game. So have you seen the Blair Witch movie?
I actually haven't, believe it or not.
Wow, you should watch it. I mean, it was cool for what it was back in the day, and stuff like that, and I watched it, and I still thought it was kind of scary. The ending is, I don't know, it is what it is, I'll say that, but some people think it's really scary, some people think it's really dumb, so...
That's split decision I always heard, though.
Right,
it's like, some people are like, oh my god, and some people are like, that was stupid.
Right,
like, I still don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, then, I won't spoil it. So I mean, maybe you play the game and then you figure it out. But I don't know. I think it's just really bizarre that somebody is making it, and I don't think it's going to do well commercially. But you never know. We'll see. Okay, so the next big game, arguably, I would say the top two shown at E3 was Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
Is this one of your big three you want to talk about?
It isn't exactly.
Gotcha.
I mean, it's a game I'm interested in, but, I mean, the Keanu Reeves reveal, man.
And he has the second most spoken dialogue in the game.
Really?
Yeah.
That is great.
Yeah, that was. I saw that on Twitter today, and I was like, what? So it's going to be a big deal.
The one thing that I did kind of like about that, though, was... Johnny Mnemonic. Did you ever watch Johnny Mnemonic?
That was a
big cyberpunk movie in the 90s. And so I just kind of thought it was kind of fitting for like, okay, like now he's in this cyberpunk game and it's like he's kind of got like a history in that and like in acting, you know. I mean, Johnny Mnemonic's not hackers, but that's a whole different topic for
it,
another
to me,
time.
To me, it reminds me of same type of Fifth Element. Like just the world that they're in. I'm like, oh yeah, I could get down on this.
I could see it.
Yeah, I think it's going to be huge. I think it's going to sell, you know, incredibly, incredibly well. It's made by CD Projekt Red, right? The same people who make The Witcher. This is like their new.
That's it.
Yeah,
yes,
this is their brand new thing. And we'll talk a little bit about The Witcher later, but So I think Cyberpunk 2077 easily probably in the top three of everybody shown there at. E3, everything I've seen of it looks awesome. I can't wait.
Appeals for you for Cyberpunk? What's like the big thing for you with that game?
Oh, I like the world. Like the world that it's in, and you know, for me is like I like that futuristic style. I think the art style, like the bright colors, the neon, all that stuff. That's what I like. I played a lot of Destiny. And I always thought, like, running, like, for me,
I played a lot of
the first
Destiny.
Destiny was always running around the main kind of area. And it's like this kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Dystopian. But it is that kind of futuristic, I don't know. I like futuristic games.
Yeah, no, for sure. And what I like about that kind of like world building for Cyberpunk is like, it's futuristic, but at the same time, like, you know, you have people with cyborg enhancements and stuff like that and kind of futuristic looking cars and everything. But as far as like buildings and stuff and everything goes, it's sort of kind of like a little bit postmodern. So it kind of looks almost kind of normal. So it kind of like builds somewhat kind of like a believable like cyberpunk future in a sense. It kind of reminds me of like Looper, like the film Looper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that, like, you know, like hover bikes kind of looked almost like motorcycles and stuff like that, and like in that film and everything. And I liked that. I was like, okay, like it's kind of relatable in a sense. So yeah, yeah, I'm excited for it. So we got a little bit of ways to go for it though, but
yeah. Yeah, oh, dude, yeah, it's next year. It's not even coming out.
Yeah, 2020. Yeah, but it has been announced for like PS4, Xbox One though, and everything though, right? Like it's not.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's not an exclusive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
so,
Sony didn't even show up. So
I don't know. I thought it with the way they were pushing it, I thought to myself it might come out for like PS5 or even or something like that. But
yeah.
But
you never know. Well, it's possible. Depends on because it's coming out, I think it's early next year, and so Xbox is coming out, like Xbox pretty much said next holiday for we'll get to Project
Scarlet. Yeah.
Battletoads, you know, much like they're making a new Streets of Rage game, they're making a new Battletoads game. It's got that cool artistic style. I suck at the original Battletoads, I think, much like everybody, so there's
fun
that.
Fact, I never played Battletoads.
It's brutally hard. Play the Genesis version, though. That is a beatable version.
Okay.
Yeah. The Genesis version you can beat. The original NES version is like, that's not happening. Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, which is awesome. I love me some old school Age of Empires. And then I already talked about LEGO Star Wars. So this is one of my big ones. Dragon Ball Project Z, which is now kind of officially called Dragon Ball Z Kakarot.
Okay, I think I missed this one.
Okay, so they showed a trailer for it. Was it at the Game Awards earlier this year? Or maybe it was just announced, or it would have been last year. And it's going to be a Dragon Ball kind of open world action adventure game, I think going just into the Frieza saga.
Ooh.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome. And it looks like they haven't explained exactly how flying around and combat's going to work, but the combat looks like you're playing Xenoverse, so clearly it's going to
work. Oh, okay. That's
yeah, so idea. I don't know if you're going to go into like RPG-type battle screens and you just fight people, but I don't know. I think it looks freaking awesome. I'm a huge Dragon Ball fan, so yeah, it's any
right.
So for me, that's like an instant buy. I'll be buying that, and there's gonna be zero issue with that. So
it's interesting because like you've had the in the past, I can remember the line of Budokai games, which which I loved. But man, they are really really pushing a lot more like real quality DBZ games lately.
I know,
absolutely insane.
Well, it's just getting bigger and bigger. Super's been very, very successful for them.
I really got to watch Super. I still have to actually finish DBZ itself.
Wow.
I got up to the Cell Saga and I stopped.
Yeah, you definitely need to
Whoops.
Watch that.
Don't at me, internet, please. I'm sorry. There's just too much to watch and too many games as well. But yeah.
Okay. All right. I just had to pull. I had to pull up one more thing here.
Yeah.
Okay. So then we have Gears of War 5, which.
Okay.
Is this one of your big games?
Well, no. I've only played the first Gears of War, but I thought it was really, really cool that they're doing the Terminator skin thing.
Yes.
I thought that, I don't know why. I'm like, I just like it. I like the, I'm just a Terminator guy, so I was like, I just saw that and I was just like, that looks awesome. I don't know why you guys are doing that, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. Microsoft's conference in general, I thought was, yeah. I'll wait until we're done. Gears 5 to me was, it's another Gears of War game, which is kind of disappointing because I loved the first three. I loved the first three back in the Xbox 360. Then they showed off some Xbox Elite 2 controller, which I will say, having played on an Xbox 360 or an Xbox One Elite controller and played on a PS4 controller, and even the Nintendo Switch controller, the Xbox Elite controller is easily the best. I mean, that thing feels like it is obviously a premium price, but it feels like a premium device. I don't know if you've used one or not, but like I've gone through like four PS4 controllers. They just don't hold up very well. And like
I've never heard anything good about the PS4 controllers.
They're not
to be
very.
Honest.
They're comfortable, but their battery life sucks, and they're just not very good.
I have a standard Xbox One S controller, and I've never had an issue with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's not that, but what's the starting price for it? So.
Oh, I think it's like 200. Not it can't be $200, but it's certainly over $100.
Yikes!
Yeah. But I mean, if you're
what you pay for, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all kinds of different stuff to it. So, then we saw Forza Horizon 4, which is crazy to think about that we're even on Forza Horizon 4 / Lego Speed Champions. I did think that was kind of cool. I did think that was kind of cool. Oh, they're bringing Lego to Forza. Like, how do we?
Forza was always a game, especially an Xbox game, that I've always like wanted to, you know. Dip your toe into the pool.
Be careful.
That's all about. I like racing games. And,
much like The Sims and, like Stardew Valley, Minecraft, you will spend a ton of time in it because they're great. I mean, everyone is a great game.
Yeah, and now we have these Lego cars added into it, so it's just like, oh boy, this is just going to more fuel for the fire, basically.
Yeah.
But a cool addition, so.
Yeah.
Again, why not? Yeah.
All right. So then we had Phantasy Star Online 2 is finally coming to the West, and it's coming to Xbox.
Okay. This is one for me. This Whoa. Is good. All right. Here's my thing. I've just actually only really gotten into Phantasy Star. I'm playing through the first one right now.
Oh, okay. Phantasy Star Online or Phantasy Star?
No, like the first Phantasy Star. Oh, okay. The first Phantasy Star ever. But, I didn't know what Phantasy Star was until the first Phantasy Star Online came out all those years ago.
On the Dreamcast,
and then it got ported to the GameCube.
Yes.
I remember. And that's when I remembered it. I missed it during the Dreamcast era. I had a GameCube, and I saw that, but I didn't understand how to do all the online stuff back then. I was so young. But I saw it, and I remember looking through magazines at it, and it was like this cool sci-fi, but also somewhat medieval at the same time. I was like, okay, this is really interesting. It's got its own identity. I was out like a month ago or so at one of the local game stores, like a couple of towns over, and on the Game Boy Advance, they had the Phantasy Star collection for like $10. And I was just like, well, this is a good opportunity as any. It's the first three Phantasy Stars on one cartridge for $10. So I picked it up for my Game Boy Advance, and I'm playing through the first one, and I'm just like, wow. I'm like, this is an awesome game. It does not hold your hand. It's brutal. And now Phantasy Star Online 2 is coming out, and I'm really into this game right now. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I am going to have to get this now because I missed out on the first one. And, online gaming has evolved so much since then. It'll be so much more accessible to me. So sign me up. I will probably be getting this. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I played a ton of PSO on the GameCube with my buddies Tim and Thomas, who have been on the podcast before. I mean, those are the guys that played hours and hours and hours. And my friend, one of my buddies, Justin, who I've talked about before, he is like, PSO is like his thing. He's like downloaded English packs to play English hacks of the game to play PSO. PSO2 in English, and he's like, yeah, I cannot believe they are finally bringing it over. He's like, at this point, it seems almost like a dumb idea because it's like they've missed it, but he's like, I'm still gonna play it. So,
it's crazy because a lot of, I don't know what it was, and I think it might have been with that Genesis collection that came out on the PS4 as well, because I think some of the not Phantasy Star Online, but a couple of the earlier Phantasy Stars. I think Phantasy Star 4 was on it or something like that. But I don't know. I feel like the community for Phantasy Star fans has been a bit, real outspoken lately. I just mean, a lot more people are talking about it lately. And it's just kind of coincidental that now, after this, they decided to, I guess they've been listening and realized there's a market for Phantasy Star Online, too. And they pulled the trigger on it. So, I got to look more into it still, but I was just like, all right, it's now or never for me. to step into this realm and see what the craze is all about.
Yeah, PSO or Phantasy Star for the Master System and Genesis. Go back to those games. The first four are really, really good. They're really good RPGs.
And what's so challenging about it is, like, you have no maps or anything. And it's kind of like, it's one of those games where it's like, you really need to, like, talk to every character in the game to, like, but you still have to, like, they'll give you hints and stuff, but they're not holding your hand. You really got to, like, figure out on your own and think for yourself, like, where do I go? What do I do? And it's situations where it's just like, I had to look up a guide for certain things, and I'm thinking to myself, I never would have thought to do this in this situation. Like, what is this? Like, I mean that in a good way, because it's hard. So it's a good journey, but it's like, I don't know if Phantasy Star Online is going to be like that. And if it is, pray to God, help me. But yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah. No, I'm excited too. What else do we have here for the Xbox? Elden Ring, which is brought to us from the guys at From Software and George R.R. Martin. They didn't show any.
Oh, right.
They didn't show any gameplay footage. They just showed us a small teaser. So it's, you know, George R.R. Martin, who loves to kill people. I'm obviously a big Game of Thrones fan. And the guys that make the Dark Souls game. So my guess is that you will be dying all of the time in this game.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah. So, yeah, they didn't really show a lot, but that's what they all showed. Okay, so then they talked a little bit about the new Xbox and some of the Project Scarlet. They talked about, you know, GDDR6 RAM, and it's going to be one of the fastest, you know, APUs and processors. They didn't show any gameplay footage or anything of it, but what we've started to see from Sony, who's been showing off details of the PS5, is that the speed, like, loading times. They showed a speed loading time of Spider-Man running on the PS4 and Spider-Man running on the PS5, and it's like zero. So these next consoles, I feel like, are going to be very powerful.
My eyes just, like, widened as you said that right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're just, hey, I mean, wow. Yeah, they're, I think they're going to be super powerful because this generation, the PS4, Xbox One generation, while the consoles are really powerful, and they came out at a weird time because console generations are usually around 5 to 6 years. But due to kind of the economic downturn that we had and just the fact that games were selling so well, the PS3, Xbox 360 generation lasted almost 10 years. It lasted way longer than it should have. So when we got the PS4, Xbox One, they weren't really that drastic of jumps in console performance. So now it's like, okay, now we're actually caught back up to where we should be. And so the next jump is going to be, I think, pretty significant.
Now, this new Xbox, though, because there's also, like, this all-digital Xbox coming out, too.
Yeah.
I think.
That's going to be an all-digital Xbox, like, One X.
Now, is this new Xbox also, like, still an Xbox One, or is it just a completely, like...
No, it's going to be, like, thing. The Xbox... Well, it's not like the Xbox 2, because the Xbox 2 is the Xbox 360, and the Xbox One is the Xbox 3, and then...
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's really Xbox 4 is the easiest way to describe
okay,
it.
Okay, because I had this conversation with the owner of one of the stores, and I was like, what do you think Microsoft's doing? He goes, I think they're just going to come out with newer versions of the Xbox One, really. And I was just like, huh. I was like, that was an interesting take. So I wondered if that's what this was going to be, really.
No, it's their next console. It's
all right. All but, new, baby. All right, now we know.
But now that it's a different architecture. See, because consoles used to be different architecture than computers. The original Xbox wasn't. The original Xbox was actually much closer to a computer, but the 360 and, like, the PS3 ran on, like, totally different architecture, as well as Nintendo's always run on, like, their own system, their own
thing. Yeah.
So now it's a lot easier to just port that stuff over, and backwards compatibility is a lot easier because it used to be like the PS2 essentially has a PS1 inside of it. And the PS3 could do backwards compatibility through really, like, software emulation. It's really weird. And it's like the Xbox, you just kind of basically download digital version. It's really weird. And so now it's just like, oh, now you literally, it's like a computer. So it's just like, okay, pop in an old game into your computer and you can still load it. So that's it should work. And Microsoft talked about how backwards compatibility is going to be really important to them. So we'll see. But then they showed off a game. They showed off some Halo Infinite, which looked pretty cool. But at this point,
I actually missed the Halo Infinite. I'm so disappointed in myself.
At this point, it's like, man, Halo is like, you're gonna have to really do something to make it cool. Halo 3, I think, and then Reach, 4 and 5 kind of fell flat. So,
well, I'll be honest. I haven't played a Halo since Reach, but I it's a series I try to keep up with just to see what's happening with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I told myself, like, try to watch the Halo segment if they show one, and I just didn't get to it. So.
Yeah. All right, let's shift over to Ubisoft. Basically, just showed Watch Dogs, so and not really okay. Not really a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, I never really played Watch Dogs in general.
I played the first one. I thought it was cool. I really liked it. The second one I didn't play. The third one, at this point, it's really weird because Ubisoft has in the past couple of years shown really cool stuff with Nintendo, but we didn't really get that. But who is doing a ton of cool stuff with Nintendo is Square Enix. And we have quite a bit to talk about with Square Enix. Some stuff that will come back up during the Nintendo conference, but we can talk about it here because I think, Adam, you and I both have this in our top three, top three most excited games. So first and foremost, we saw the Final Fantasy VII remake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It was really funny. So my buddy Ezra, who's been on this podcast before and I, do Bend the Knee with and stuff like that, he doesn't really kind of know video games as nearly as well as I do. And I remember he has watched some of the past E3s with me. And go back to the E3 where the PS5 was coming out and the Xbox One was coming out, and it just seemed like Microsoft were going back and forth, like blow to blow. And the following year, we were watching the conferences, and Microsoft had, a really good conference that year. It's where they showed off the first Forza Horizon for the Xbox One, and I want to say Sunset Overdrive, and so it was looking good. And so Sony's conference, and he was like, what would Sony have to do to win this? And I was like, because I was explaining the whole deal. It's like, you got Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, they're all fighting each other, essentially. And he was like, okay. And so he was like, what would Sony have to do to win this conference? And I was like, he's like, what would be like the biggest game ever? I was like, either Shenmue 3 or Final Fantasy 7 Remade. And we got both of them in the same conference. And I was like, oh my God. And they were like within like minutes of each other. And so I'll get to Shenmue 3 because it's just, they didn't really show a lot of it at E3, but it's one of my most excited for games ever. But the Final Fantasy VII Remake trailer was amazing.
Oh my God.
And do you remember when they were showing off the PS3 originally? And E3, they did a tech demo, and they said this is a tech demo, and it was Final Fantasy VII. It was the opening scene running on like Remade it for the PS3.
Oh yeah,
and
I remember that very well.
Then they showed this again, and it was awesome. And it was like, this isn't a tech demo. This is the real deal. And so I watched that trailer at a couple E3s ago, and I was like, man, this looks great. And they said it was going to be episodic, and I got really disappointed. And then I started watching this, and I was like, yeah, I'm fine with it being episodic. And having played Final Fantasy 15 and loving Final Fantasy 15, I think Final Fantasy 7 is going to work really, really well with that.
Final Fantasy 15 was a really good game. And it's interesting because I was a little bit disappointed about the episodic thing too. I'm still kind of torn about it. But my thing was, I might have mentioned this on the show before, but I used to hate Final Fantasy 7. I hated it. When I think I first played Final Fantasy VII when I was like 12, so it was like a little bit after the game had come out. So 12, so it was like 2001, 2002, maybe, and I played it and I just didn't get it. It had nothing to do with the older graphics or anything like that. I just did not get it, and I thought like, this is stupid, and just I was tired of everyone just talking about Sephiroth and Final Fantasy. I liked other Final Fantasy games, though. And then 15's about to come out, and I'm looking at this, and I'm like, you know what? I really want to play this game. And I was just like, something came over me. It was like, you got to play 7. You got to give it another shot, and you got to finish it. And I replayed through 7, and I was just like, this game is a masterpiece. I absolutely fell in love with the thing. I was like, oh my god, love it. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, there were talks about it possibly being remade, and I'm like, well, I don't know if you should remake it now. And that I had this new appreciation. I was just like, and I truly realized how good it was. I was like, I don't think you should touch this. I was like, kind of just leave it the way it is. And what we saw, I was like, yes, like, give us all of it, please. Like, go ahead and remake it. Oh my god, I did not realize I wanted this. But one thing that I did take in mind with this, watching that gameplay, I realized, you know what? This is great for the new generation, because there is no way they would have... I don't mean this to take a shot. That gameplay has not aged well. I think a newer generation would have a really hard time and be very impatient with that older gameplay of Final Fantasy VII. So this is absolutely great. All the characters look phenomenal. I'm just like, let's do this, baby. Like, I am all in on the Final Fantasy VII remake for sure.
How many episodes do you think it's going to be, and how do you think you're going to do it story wise?
That is a good question. I feel like it might be. Let's think. 3 episodes.
That's what I'm going. It was 3 discs.
I'm calling 3 episodes. 3 discs, and I'm. This is the way I'm. Can I pinpoint it? Like,
It
might give away potential spoilers. Like, if you haven't played Final Fantasy, but first episode goes up to Aerith's death.
Wow. Okay.
It seems kind of lengthy when you think about it that way, but that's the one for me. That episode 2 will possibly end when Cloud goes kind of into that comatose state. Basically.
Oh, okay.
And then 3 follows kind of like the party. Like, when I played it, I don't know if this is the same way for everybody, but when I did this, like when Cloud was kind of in that state, you needed someone to take over the party. For me, it was Cid.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, so episode 3 would probably start with like them. Like just someone in the party, like, taking a control until, like, Cloud gets better and you start to learn the true madness in Cloud's mind and stuff like that and everything that really happens to him, and just goes all the way up to the end. That's kind of the way I see it happening.
So here's how I think it's going to go. I'm with you on some of that stuff. But
okay.
I think they're going to drastically change the story. Like, not the story, but they're gonna cut out a lot of the stuff that you had to do in the game to get from point A to point B. So I actually think the first game is entirely in Midgar. I think they're gonna expand on it. I think you're gonna do way more stuff. I just right now, the way I feel about it, you may not even leave Midgar. It may end with you leaving it and setting out.
I could see that.
That's, yeah,
I could see the changes because. To be fair, despite I do think that original game is a masterpiece now, there are some errors in it.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's probably them probably trying to, like, erase that. Maybe.
Well, I just think, like, a lot of – there's a ton of mini games and that stuff. Like, I don't think you're going to have the weird RTS section on the mountain where you get the Phoenix summon.
Oh, yeah.
I think there will be Golden Saucer at some point, but I think it'll be different. I don't think you're going to get to do the stuff where you go down in, like, the submarine and – you know, they may kind of alter Cid's stuff where you're going into space and, you know, all the, like, the spaceship. So I think a lot of that stuff's going to be kind of whittled down, you know. It's just, it's, and so that's how I think it's going to kind of go. But I'm with you. I think the first game is almost entirely in Midgar. I think the second game is Aerith's death, or it ends with Cloud going comatose, and then, yeah, like, the third one's just the end.
Now, this is a silly question, but I want to know, for the minigame stuff, do you think we're going to get Cloud with the big muscle men in the, what was the
squad
competition?
So. I hope so.
Well, here's a question for you.
Are we gonna get the Cloud in the, you know, going dress? As in the dress.
God, I hope so.
I do too. Yeah.
We got to get Don Cornelius action in here.
We do.
Don Cornelius. Here's a question for you. What's your favorite part of Final Fantasy VII?
In general? Oh, man. I don't know. Final Fantasy VII is a game that it's a very, very special place.
A lot of definitive moments, too, I feel like.
For me, I don't know. I always thought Vincent Valentine was cool. And I thought that finding him was awesome in the house. I also liked Yuffie a lot.
Yeah, Yuffie was one of my favorite characters, actually.
Yeah.
She sort of reminds me of a character in an anime that might be like Ed, in a sense, from Cowboy Bebop. Mm-hmm. Not like kind of in terms of like just like she could be kind of silly
mm-hmm.
at times or something. So I don't know. But yeah, there's just so many moments. Me personally, though, I think a lot of people might be surprised at this pick. I don't know. But for me, it's when Cid finally gets into space.
Right.
And he kind of like looks out and he's like, you know, he finally made it. That was his dream.
Yeah.
And he got, despite the circumstances were kind of dire.
Right. Like, maybe the weapons, like when the weapon is attacking, I can't remember the name of the city that's got the big cannons. I just remember watching that video and thinking this is awesome. And then the weapon that's charging Midgar, now that they put the cannon onto it, and just remember seeing those cutscenes and think this is awesome.
I think another moment for me was, again, once you learn Cloud isn't who we really thought he was.
Right.
You learn, you know, there's the reveal of Zack, and you realize how, because Cloud was so traumatized, his mind kind of developed this madness to mask everything, and that's when I kind of realized this isn't the game I thought it was going to be, you know. So like, it did a really good job at tricking me, and it was so good. It was kind of like, it's kind of like the big reveal in Star Wars: Old Republic, Knights of the Old Republic.
Yeah.
You know, when you find out you're the Dark Lord of the Sith, you were the whole time. It's like, what? Like, oh my god. So yeah.
So do you have you ventured into any of the like extra content of Final Fantasy VII, like some of the side games and like the movie Advent Children?
I watched Advent Children it was such a long time ago. It was probably a little bit after, it's probably like a year after it came out. But I was still in my phase where I was like, I hate Final Fantasy VII. But the movie looked interesting, so I have to actually rewatch Advent Children now.
Okay,
because
Dirge of Cerberus. That's the game where you play as like Vincent. Is pretty good.
I really wish I played that game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that game looked pretty interesting, but I heard so many mixed things about it. I was just
Crisis Core is sweet.
Well, I know Crisis Core is the sequel, but
I
didn't have
the
PSP.
It's a prequel, it's really good.
So I would like to play Crisis Core one day as well.
Yeah.
That would be kind of... Yeah, so I've only really done like Final Fantasy VII to its fullest extent now.
Gotcha.
So like that's really it. So I want to rewatch Advent Children at this point. But
what's your favorite Final Fantasy?
It was 9.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be 7 now at this point, I think. 15 is up there too. I actually really enjoyed 15.
Nine was my favorite for a really long time, and now I don't know. 15, I don't know what it was, I just really loved it.
Well, 15 was another one of those games too, like 7, where it's like the deeper you got was the more I started to realize this isn't the game I thought it was gonna be either.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Especially like when Noctis goes into the crystal. But when he comes out of it, there's like that time jump.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like kind of pseudo-apocalyptic in a sense. And they go into the town and it's all like dark. And I was kind of just like, whoa, hold on a second. I was like, what is going on here? Who is it? Artemis,
mm-hmm.
I think. Oh, dude. Like, I knew he was bad news from the start. But when you got deeper in, it was kind of just like, wow, dude, you're pretty twisted. Like, you are a true villain.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. So good. I actually got the edition where you get a Sephiroth sword, actually.
Oh, yeah, game. Yeah.
Yeah, so that,
I did as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I couldn't pass that up. So yeah. I want to replay 9.
It's on Switch.
Yeah, it is. I'm not gonna lie, I kinda liked the movie Spirits Within.
Oh, see, I've never seen that.
That was actually it's interesting. When that came out, not to get too off track here, that came out around the time Final Fantasy IX came out. And Final Fantasy IX was like the first game like I ever really like discovered in the Final Fantasy franchise. And then I went back and I played some of like the first one on like my uncle's NES and stuff. But I remember my aunt took me to see Spirits Within. And that was like my full-on first experience with anything Final Fantasy related. And I was, at the time when I was a kid, I thought it was cool. And then I got a little older and I thought, mediocre at best. And I kind of rewatched it again and I was like, you know what? I'm like, this isn't so bad. Like, it's interesting. I mean, it was made by the creator of Final Fantasy II.
Yeah.
So it has to give it some kind of credibility. You know, it's Final Fantasy is an anthology. It's its own story set in kind of like, but it's set like in our world, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, give it a whirl.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot at some point. Yeah. Speaking of Final Fantasy, we're getting Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles remastered.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. I played Crystal Chronicles back on GameCube.
I didn't.
Never finished
it's
it.
It's a game. It's a game I always saw, and I was always like, "Oh man, I want to play that." So I'm looking forward to it.
It's another one of those games where it's like, there's character customization.
Oh, okay.
Not that in depth, but it gives you options.
Oh, okay.
So you could kind of like tailor your party to the way you see fit by creating your own characters and giving them names and stuff like that. So it's interesting. It's interesting. It's an interesting little game. Never finished it, but it was fun for what I played through for it.
Yeah. The Last of Us The Last Remnant Remastered. Now that is a game. Are you familiar with The Last Remnant?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay, so it was one of Square's first RPGs on the PS3 that wasn't a Final Fantasy game. And it was really mediocre, but it, like, the game in general is mediocre. But then it was, it suffered from really poor performance. Like, even if you installed it, it's just not that great.
Interesting.
It's just, yeah, and so I think, so the remastered version hopefully is like playable, because like it's worth playing if you like RPGs, you like Square, I mean, you know, like Final Fantasy, you can play through it. I started to play it on the Xbox 360, and I just was at a time where I was playing so many other games that I was just like, I can't really give this all the time in the world. But I think, you know, if you like that type of, if you like Final Fantasy X, you like that era of RPG, I think it's worth checking out. It's on Switch too. And then we get into some big games here. Dragon Quest Builders 2.
Yes!
Yeah.
Yeah! I got a little excited there, sorry. But
that's okay. So did you... I didn't play the first one. And
no, neither did I.
I'm really disappointed because I just missed out on it. But now that the second one's coming out, I'm like, well, I'm not going to go back and play the first one. But
right,
I'm definitely getting the second.
Well, the best part about the second one is like, you could play multiplayer now.
Yeah.
Because when the first one came out on the PS4. It didn't have a PS4. And by the time it had come out for the Switch, I had already known a second one was going to be announced. Mm-hmm. We just didn't know when. And, you know, it's like, it's not a game that's set in any of... that has nothing to do with any of the games of the main series. The first game, you're rebuilding the world of Alufgard, also known in... which is, I believe, the first... it's in the first two Dragon Quest games. And in Dragon Quest 3, you go after there after you beat, like, the first half of the game, and it's the Dark World. But the first game, it's just you kind of, like, rebuilding Alufgard. Yeah, that's cool, but this second game looks like... I don't know if it's going to have character customization, because all the characters look pretty different from each other.
I would imagine you would.
Like, that would be pretty cool. You know, because it's going to be, you're going to be able to play online with your friends. Like, it's going to be you and three people, so a party of four. But you're not rebuilding a Dragon Quest world at this point. You're creating your own Dragon Quest world now. So that's awesome. You defend your town against classic Dragon Quest monsters. It's got a first-person mode. It's just, what's not to like? I think Dragon Quest is one of those games, too, that was able to do side and spin-off games, I think, kind of well for itself. You have the Dragon Quest Monster series, which kind of follows that fashion of Pokemon.
Dragon Quest Heroes, which I've played and really enjoyed.
Yeah, that's the hack and slash kind of version, and I think that was cool because you had the smash up of actual Dragon Quest characters. So that was pretty good in its own right, I think. But, you know, it had elements where it's like you level up your character and stuff like that too, so that was cool. And just, you know, Dragon Quest, again, is like, it's like that sense of Final Fantasy where it's like every game is kind of, it's like it's an anthology, unless it's specifically stating that it's a sequel of a game. Dragon Quest 1, 2, and 3 kind of do follow each other to a degree, but Dragon Quest 3 takes place before Dragon Quest 1 and 2, actually. But for the most part, all the other Dragon Quests are their own games. But for what Dragon Quest Builders 1 was, it was a game that I was like, okay, I would really like to play that one day, but now that we're getting 2, I'm kind of just like, yeah, I'm just going to wait for this to come out onto the Switch. So,
well, speaking of Dragon Quest games that I was just waiting to come out on the Switch. Should we talk about it now or should we wait until we jump into Nintendo? Because there's a Nintendo tie-in. There's one last game we need to talk about on Square Enix.
I think let's wait it out.
Okay, let's wait. Yeah, okay.
Keep the train rolling and let's...
Okay, so... two games just really briefly, Romancing Saga 3 and Onanakai. They showed some stuff for it at one of the last Nintendo Directs. It's going to be a Switch game. Looks pretty cool. I think it's going to be on other things as well. It's going to be the same people who made like Lost Sphere and,
Lost Sphere.
What was it? Lost Sphere and the Chrono Trigger. Like they were going after that Chrono Trigger style. I Am Setsuna. So it looks cool. So then the last one which they showed, which is kind of to mediocre reception, was Marvel's Avengers.
I mean, I'm interested,
right?
But I have to admit,
the character models just look
that's the big life thing.
So the funny
Captain
thing
Captain America's like decked out in SWAT gear.
I know.
Like,
so like the funny thing is that there were two Marvel games shown. You know, we'll talk about Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, but man, Alliance 3, which I thought looked dumb the first time I saw it, I was like, God, that just doesn't look fun. Now I'm like, wow, this looks awesome, and Marvel's Avengers I think looked bad. So I don't know, maybe it's because Spider-Man was so good for the PS4 that I look at this and I'm just like, I don't know, seems kind of average.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a chance, but like based on like what I'm seeing, like these enemies they're fighting, I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know. This seems kind of like a little bit more slower paced than anything they've dealt with in the films.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, you're dealing with like what it looks like kind of like this rogue SWAT-like militarized group.
Right.
Unless it's something Hydra-based, I don't know. But it's... I was like, I don't know. I was expecting something a bit more otherworldly, I guess you could say. But,
All right. Well...
I will see, it doesn't look like
It's time. Okay. So, let's get to the real deal here. So, the Nintendo Direct.
Oh, my God.
Start to finish, it was pretty great. So
I had texted you.
Yeah, I know. We were texting each other. So
I was going crazy. I was going absolutely crazy.
The game. So we were told we would be revealed one character in Smash, and I have to say I read some potential spoilers as to who the characters were, who they could have been, and this character was on the list. The second character we'll talk about at the end was not one of the characters, although it is one of the single most requested characters. And how they reveal that character I thought was hilarious. But we'll get to this one. So Nintendo Direct starts off. Oh, it's clearly Smash Brothers. We see Link and like Marth and Meta Knight fighting. And they had all the characters with swords. And yes. Then here comes in, you know, basically the hero from Dragon Quest XI. And we hear the Dragon Quest music, and then it got so much better because we got to see that, oh, it's not just the hero from Dragon Quest XI. Selectable skins from other heroes from the Dragon Quest series.
Yeah, it's Dragon Quest 8, 4, and 3.
Yeah.
I should have just said 3, 4, and 8.
But the color the color change options make them look like some of the other characters as well, other characters as well.
A little bit too, and I think there's a power-up move as well that brings in other heroes as well, like, to like work
the
together
ultra,
for
the
like,
Ultra Smash, yeah.
Yeah, I, because I'm such a Dragon Quest fan, you know, it's like, I played 3, I played some of 7, I've played a couple of side games, just... When you see the horse riding, I thought, oh, it's probably going to be like another Zelda character or a Fire Emblem character, which is fine. And then here's the hero of Dragon Quest XI, and I was like, whoa!
And then they start playing. So once the music hits, you're just like, yes! Like,
it was such a great moment. And just Dragon Quest VIII, I felt like was a great, like, I don't know. I felt like it helped popularize the series a bit more, because that's finally right. When Square and Enix merged, you know, so that was the first Dragon Quest like released under that merger, and I always liked the style of that hero, so seeing that was great. My favorite Dragon Quest game is 3, so to see the hero of 3, also known as Edric, I was, my heart was like in my throat, like I couldn't vocalize properly. I was sweating. This is probably going to be the character I'm probably going to have to use. I just have so many fond memories of that character. I'm going to try 11 out, 11's out as well, of course. It's probably going to be between Dragon Quest 11 and Dragon Quest 3 the most, but oh my god, that was just such a great introduction of those characters. Oh my god.
No, that was great.
And I liked how they have like the spell menus, like that RPG menu comes up in the combat and everything. I thought that was so clever. I was like, wow. And like each skin gets like a specific like spell they can use.
Yeah, that's really cool, great. and that's really interesting. But the thing that I you know, most excited me, so we knew it was coming. I mean, it's not something that we didn't know didn't exist, was the fact that Dragon Quest is coming to the Switch. Dragon Quest XI is coming to the Switch. And so the fact that, you know, it followed it immediately, I was like, that's... So, like, when I saw the character, I was excited, but I was like, I really want to see that Dragon Quest XI running on the Switch and finally get a release date, which we did. I think it's September 20th, sometime around there, 27th, possibly, sometime in that area. And so I'm going to be buying it right out the gate. The game, I'm actually really surprised at how well it looks on Switch. Obviously, they've toned the graphics down. And we've seen footage before, but this time we kind of got just that confirmation and, you know, some new footage. So it was really cool to see that. And I'm super stoked for Dragon Quest XI. I'm buying it the day one, and I'm going to be playing the heck out of it.
Yeah, that makes two of us, man. Like, again, a PS4 game, I didn't have that option. And I kind of thought maybe it would come onto the Switch because it was released on the 3DS only in Japan.
Right.
And I kind of thought just to myself, well, maybe someday they'll have to do it. And just
well, and not only
Smash reveal.
Not only is it coming, or was it released on the 3DS? But we're basically getting the 3DS version in the Switch version, where you get to switch between 3D and 2D, which is awesome.
Right, yeah, so you, exactly, the PS4 version did not have that, where on the Switch, it's like, yeah, you could play 3D, but if you want that classic, like, 2D style from, like, the older Dragon Quest games on, like, either, like, Super Famicom or the Game Boy editions, boom, you could switch it. Right. And I thought that was one of the most clever.
I wonder how that's going to work. I haven't watched any more footage of that. But the interesting thing would be if that's how you fast travel, because you know you just move a lot quicker on a map, right? You know, because like, oh, if there's like weird, there's gonna be so many glitches. If you can just switch back and forth between that, like in Halo, the Master Chief version, you could on the fly switch between graphics, right? You could switch between what it looked like on the 360 and what it looks like now when they redid it, or what it looked like on the original Xbox and then when the new graphic style,
right.
And so I'm wondering if you can do that on the fly. Because that would be awesome. Because that way, you know, it's like, well, moving like, you know, on a map, on like an old 2D map, like you move way quicker because there's less space to cover. And like that, if that would be a way that you could like fast travel and stuff like that. I'm sure if it does work like that, you could do the completely change the gameplay style on the fly. Man, who knows what that could be like.
It actually has me thinking to myself, which way am I going to play this?
I'll probably
just be doing a lot of switching back and forth probably if that's the option it gives us, you know.
Yeah, I can't remember if it said you have to switch back and forth or you have to pick from the beginning. But either way, it'd be cool, so. Yeah, I'll be buying that the second it came out. All right, following that was Luigi's Mansion 3, which is another game. It's like you didn't even need to show me gameplay footage of. Like I know I'm getting it. You know, it's like some of these games, like all I need to know is that this game exists. I don't need any more like footage or anything else. I know I'm gonna get it. I know I'm gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, it was a series like because you have the original. I missed out on that.
Oh god, it's so good.
And
the original is now ported to 3DS. If you want to check out the
it
original.
Is, and there's a sequel on the 3DS.
The sequel is a 3DS game. Yep. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon.
Yeah. So what I think is also so great about this is just like, okay, we got Super Mario Odyssey, which is a marvel of a game. But I like the fact that, you know, Nintendo's not afraid to dip its toe into the water and try these other like spin-off Mario games. So these other characters get their own identity. And, you know, it works, you know. It kind of gives me hope that maybe in the future, hey, maybe we'll get a new WarioWare game specially tailored for the Switch, or maybe just a new, like, Wario Land, Wario World game, maybe, who knows, because this Luigi's Mansion 3 looks... It looks great, man. The things you can do in it, like slamming ghosts and like sucking them up, and oh my god, so good, so good. I'm probably gonna get it, but I would probably still like to play the first two before I do that. But I got time.
Yeah, the first one is really good. I wouldn't say it's open world; it's just open mansion. The second one is more like mission based. I think that this one looks like it's gonna be going back to that, like you're just in one mansion, walking around. You have to. It's weird to call it Metroidvania, but it is. You need to go back and forth, and you know you unlock a power that later lets you get through a door or something like that. So, it's good. It's good. The first one's great. If you find it on GameCube, which should be relatively easy. It's not like it's rare or anything. You find get the 3DS version of the original. I would recommend playing that over the second one. But, Luigi's Mansion 3, I'm going to be checking it out, obviously. Follow that, we had Dark Crystal Tactics, which I know that Dark Crystal is a thing. I guess I didn't know that Netflix owned it now. It's like an older book series or something.
Huh.
I don't know. Okay. I just saw it in the trailer. I'm sure some people were excited about that, but they're like, all right, we got to get this weird one out of here. Then we had some more Link's Awakening footage.
Yes, I didn't play a lot of Zelda, but I'm all about it.
Yeah,
count me in.
Yep, I love the art style. I love that he looks like the elf from Rudolph. I'm in. I'm gonna get the amiibo, the whole thing. Link's Awakening.
The elf from Rudolph. I love it.
That's exactly what he looks like.
Yeah, Herbie.
Yeah, it's totally what he looks like.
Oh man.
So then we after that we had Trials of Mana and Collection of Mana. So
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So I never really played the original Mana game. I obviously played Secret of Mana, and I haven't played the remastered Secret of Mana, but I'm surprised that hasn't come to Switch yet. But I guess maybe this is why, because this collection is coming out.
I guess so,
collection, and then Trials of Mana, I'm kind of unfamiliar with, but the Trials of Mana remake that they showed looks super cool. And I watched a bunch of gameplay footage of that, and that looks like a game I want to check out. The Collection of Mana I would get, but it's like $40 on the Switch eShop. And I'm like, I like Secret of Mana, but I don't like Secret of Mana enough to pay $40 for it when... Maybe someday
for a digital version.
I mean, you can go get on Steam the freaking remastered version for $20. So not worth it. But the new one, the new remake of Trials of Mana looks cool. Then we saw Witcher 3, which has been super, super teased. And you know, people are complaining about the graphics and stuff like that. And they're basically like, look, like we ported this thing to the Switch. Get over it. Just like, yeah, absolutely. It's one of the most demanding graphical games there is. The fact that it's going to be on Switch is pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's a game that I've always meant to get to. I mean, I probably could have just gotten it on my Xbox anyway. But I guess I'm just interested to see how it will be received on the Switch when we actually get to its release. So,
I bought the Witcher 2. So I have the Witcher 1 and 2. I've just never really played them. But everyone's like, the Witcher 3 is like one of the greatest games ever made. And I have it on PS4, but I just never played it. And so I feel like, oh, if I had it on Switch, this is the thing that I love about the Switch. Oh, I can play it wherever I want, like on the couch or whatever. Then I'll probably put more time into it. So... I may check it out at some point. If I can get it for like $20 or something, I'm probably not going to buy it at launch, but eventually. Then we saw a little bit more footage of Fire Emblem Three Houses, which again is another one of these games that you don't even need to tell me. I'm getting it. Like, sign me up. Fire Emblem? Yep, I'm down.
Yeah, Fire Emblem was one of those games. It was another series that I missed out on. But that trailer, I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I will play that.
Sign
that
me
looked
up.
Good.
Sign me up. It's great. Resident Evil 5 and 6 will be joining all the other ones on the Switch. You and I should get this, Adam. We should get.
I think
we should get 5. We should get 5 because we've talked about this before. Resident Evil 5 is a bad experience by yourself, but a great experience playing with someone.
And you know what? It fills the void for me because it's the only main series Resident Evil game I've never finished.
Five?
Yeah.
Yeah, five would be hard unless you're. So I played it with some friends. I played it with a friend and we plowed through and I enjoyed it. I mean, I was like, oh, what is there? Then I tried to play it by myself and I was just like, God, Sheva's just so awful. You know, like, six is much better by yourself.
Six was a good game. I genuinely enjoyed Six's story, but I happened to play through that whole game, all of the scenarios with a friend of mine, and it was one of the most best co-op experiences I've had in a video game.
Mm-hmm. And five is the same way, except six is obviously their shorter campaigns because there's three different ones.
Right, exactly.
And I'm sure it's probably the gold version, so you get the extra stuff in the five as well, so you get the extra mission, I would have to imagine. But yeah, if you want more talk on Resident Evil, Adam and I actually did a full episode talking about our favorite Resident Evil games, so you can check that out.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun, that episode.
With 5, though, when you said, like, the extra mission, is that the one where, like, Chris and Jill go
to the
estate?
I would have to imagine that it would be the complete version.
Yeah, that's, like, that's the only real incentive for me to play 5 at this point, because when I originally played 5, that hadn't come out yet.
Yeah.
That little expansion.
So,
yeah.
No More Heroes 3. I've never really played the No More Heroes games, but...
No, me neither.
For those people. Daemon X Machina. Again, I played the demo. Once I saw it, I was like, it's like basically Armored Core. I was like, sign me up.
Yeah, that looked really good. That caught my interest.
Yeah, I played the demo. So. It plays really well. I think, you know, again, I'll be buying that when that comes out at some point.
I'll have to play the demo, I guess, too, then.
Yeah, it's worth. Yeah, play the demo. It's pretty cool. It's free. It's on Switch eShop.
Nice.
You get to play like two or three missions. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay.
Then we saw, and I was losing my mind, Panzer Dragoon. They're remaking the
original
Panzer Dragoon.
Whoa!
Yeah, originally came out on the Saturn. I played a lot of Panzer Dragoon Orta on the Xbox, the original Xbox. Panzer Dragoon is a, if you like Star Fox, if you're kind of unfamiliar with this game, if you like Star Fox, you'll probably like Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, Panzer Dragoon was, again, a game I never played, but it was one of those series I always like saw it. I was like, that looks great. That looks just absolutely wonderful. Like, mm-hmm. So I think now is it a remake or is?
I think it's a remake. I think it's a remake of the original.
Well, either way, it's got to be a reboot of the series, though,
right?
In general,
yeah.
Right? I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, that's I think that's good for it because we haven't seen a Legends of Dragoon game in how long?
Panzer Dragoon,
right? Yeah, Panzer Dragoon.
Yeah, yeah. Oops. Oh, but God, yeah. If there was a Legend of Dragoon, I'd be like losing my mind.
Yeah, I got those titles.
That's okay,
but,
yeah.
But you're kind of like revitalizing a series that hasn't seen life in a while. So that's good for it. And maybe in turn, it could just spawn new games in general for the series.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. So then we saw a game that didn't get a lot of time at E3 because it got a ton of time last week, and that is Pokemon Sword and Shield. And Adam, you and I have not actually talked about Pokemon Sword and Shield, so we'll obviously can take this opportunity to now. You and I were texting each other back and forth, man, about this. I mean, so what are your kind of thoughts of Sword and Shield so far?
Well, here's what I gotta say. I mean, it's kind of crazy how, like, dude, we were there for the beginning of this whole franchise, Red, Blue, and just here we are, like, I'm 30 years old, and the first, like, real console Pokemon game is here, it's real, and I'm just like, look, X and Y, Sun and Moon, look, for the handhelds, you guys really evolved the games, but there was no real, especially, I didn't finish Sun and Moon, so I can't really say anything for Sun and Moon. I think it's because X and Y had no real substance for me that it just killed it. I haven't been this excited for a Pokemon game probably since Diamond and Pearl, Black and White, which is a considerable amount of time ago. It just, oh my God. God, this world, we're getting, like, arguably Breath of the Wild exploration. To see Pokemon walking around on the map for the first time, and it's kind of got, like, that that JRPG experience where it's just, like, you can pick to engage what you want to engage. Like, you run into the Pokemon, and then you engage it in battle, and it's like you could either fight it or catch it. You know, to see Snorlax walking around in the wild, I was like, whoa. Having the weather-based system, which is definitely a carryover from other games, so it's, you know, it's a system that they've been working on for a while now, but, you know, it's a newer game, so it might be perfected even better. I just, this is a big, massive Pokemon experience, and gyms are back. This is going to be something, man. This is, like, I feel like this is like it's like the tales of like Ulysses and like Pokemon, you know, like you're going on this odyssey now.
Yeah, you know.
Oh my God.
So I did an episode where I was just a quick reaction to it when it came out, and one of the things I talked about was I love that there is this area where you can like the central area that's kind of free roaming. Because it reminds me so much of the Xenoblade series.
Okay.
Where, and I didn't really play Xenoblade Chronicles until after I'd played Xenoblade Chronicles X. And so in Xenoblade Chronicles X, one of the things is you get out to this huge open world and you're running around and you'll see like, you know, level 5 monsters, right? And you're like, oh, okay, cool. I'll go fight like this wolf type thing. And then you're like running down a hill and you see this like enormous, like, you know, dinosaur like flying monster that's like level 99. You're like, I'm not going anywhere near that thing. But it just makes the world feel alive because they're all over the place. And so I think that's one of the coolest things with Pokemon Sword and Shield. I think that it was smart to do the Dynamax. That way they don't have to really focus on mega evolutions for all the characters. And I like that it's kind of a limited period of time. I like that they're basically in soccer stadiums and they said, well, they need to be big enough to support Dynamax. Everyone's super upset that it seems like they got rid of the National Pokedex. So you may not be able to use all of the Pokemon in this. I'm sure you will be able to at some point. Let's just calm down. I'm sure
maybe they'll give an update.
Update or something. Yeah, I'm sure that's coming. If there's one thing Nintendo wants you to do, it's be able to spend money on all of the Pokemon. Let's not like act like they're doing this, you know, as a design choice. It's probably just a we want to get a Pokemon game out choice. We don't have time to get them all in. So I'm sure that's coming, but I think it looks great. Like you said, Breath of the Wild. I am all in on this game. Are you going to get Sword or Shield?
I'm going to get Shield. Well, I think it's awesome that mascot for Sword is like this little dog running around with the sword in its mouth. That's so awesome. I like the bulky, more defensive style of Shield's legendary Pokemon. And it's funny because as I gotten older and delved into the Pokemon games, I've become a more like defensive player actually too. So I think that might be another reason why it kind of like beckoned to me in a sense. The whole Dynamax thing, I liked it. I mean, I liked the Mega Evolutions, but the word Dynamax itself kind of makes me laugh because I feel like you go to the gym, brah, you Dynamax, brah. It's like, what is this, like steroids kind of, that's just like all I think of.
Everyone's but, like, I mean, I want a Dynamax Wailord because, you know, Wailord's already like the biggest Pokemon.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Like there's so many memes right now of Dynamax Wailord, and he's like sitting like in outer space, like above like the earth, you know, just like,
yeah, there's already like the one meme of Wailord itself when it uses like body slam on Pikachu or whatever. Yeah. And that's this. Yeah, but I wonder though, because like we didn't see anything of this at all, but I wonder if we'll get like a deeper story, like just going after the badges. Like,
no, I think there is. I think, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm
still trying to learn the names of the new Pokemon that were revealed to us. I know I'm starting with Swabble, though. I'm starting with Swabble.
The water type?
I always go for the water types, yeah.
See, that's funny because you said I've always leaned towards like Pokemon Blue, right? So I got Blue and then Silver, and then I got X. But then I usually usually go Water, but or Fire, you know. I don't know. Grass is never the one I go for, but
no, I never.
But this
grass.
One, I'm going Grookey, man. I don't know what it is about the little guy. I just I want Grookey.
This makes like what I think the second monkey type Pokemon starter I think we get.
Infernape or yeah, was it?
I think it's Chimchar.
Chimchar
first,
and he turns into Infernape.
Yeah, so I think that was the first. But that's fourth gen, so that's Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, but there's never a Pokemon game where I didn't pick a water as my starter first, and then if I replayed that game, maybe I'd pick a fighter and dabble with that.
In blue and red, I have gone all three. I mean, I like them all. I like them all. Venusaur, it's great. Charizard, Bulbasaur, or Blastoise. Either way, you know, they're all great.
It's just, I can't believe we finally got here, and the graphics are kind of like borderline cartoony, but I think it looks good for a console version of Pokemon. You know, you've taken the advancements you've made in the handheld, and you've kind of like just jacked it up times like 1,000, basically. You know, it's still the same battle system and everything, which is fine. What I like about that is while some JRPGs, like their combat systems have evolved, this is a classic JRPG system that I think Pokemon has managed to keep alive and well after X amount of years, something that goes back to arguably the first JRPGs of the 80s, you know? So I'm not against that. I just kind of hope, I'm hopeful that the story is going to have some substance to it for the most part. Yeah, it's great to be excited for Pokemon.
Absolutely.
Again, all in all, is what I could say.
Okay, let's move on. Astral Chain. This game is from Platinum. The more I see of it, the more I'm intrigued.
Okay, so what's this one all about? I don't really recall.
So this is the one. It's kind of like a futuristic. It's basically Nintendo's version of Cyberpunk. You know, 2077 is what I'm calling. It's made by Platinum. So if you know, think like Bayonetta type action,
okay.
But you're in kind of like this futuristic world. Just check it out. Check out a trailer or something of it, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I remember this. But yeah, it looks super cool. I think it's coming out later this year. Then we move on to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, which is a game when I saw the first gameplay of, I was like, this looks bad. But the more I see of it, the more I am intrigued, and I'm pretty sure I'll probably end up getting this one.
No, I'm definitely getting it, and I'm more excited about this one than the Avengers game. I have fond memories of playing the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I don't even remember if I played the second one or not, but count me in.
Yep,
this I'm getting.
Who's kind of your go-to Marvel superhero?
Well, in the first one, I was Spider-Man, and I remember like unlocking all the costumes. But I did like Captain America a little bit too, so I'm probably gonna dabble with that a bit with either one of those options.
Yeah, I always lean towards.
But, you know, we'll see what else the game offers.
I always lean towards the X-Men, so. I don't think Gambit is playable, so that's disappointing. But, I mean, I'll probably go Wolverine or Cyclops. And then it looks like you have to fight Magneto, but if you can then unlock Magneto as a playable character, then I will definitely be doing that.
Is Magneto voiced by Ian McKellen? Because it sounded like it.
No, I don't think so.
It sounded like that classic.
Oh,
okay.
There's
it sounded like that classic Magneto voice, but.
There's no way. There's no way. Okay, Cadence of Hyrule, which I just downloaded. I have not played today, but I did listen to the soundtrack on the way home. I was just like, on the way home from work today, I was just like, let me listen to the soundtrack. And I was like, oh my god, this song is awesome. I did not play the like original Crypt of the Necro Dancer, but it is on sale right now on the Switch eShop for $3. But I just went ahead and spent the $25 to get the full Cadence of Hyrule, and so I'm probably gonna play that this weekend.
Nice. Nice.
Did you see that or no?
I didn't.
Oh, okay.
No.
That's fair.
There's not really much I could say on that one.
Oh, that's okay. Okay. Then we had.
I'll have to go back and look at it again.
Okay, that's cool. Then we had Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games. You know, it's another one of those games. I don't know. Every time I see them, like, and I've played them before, they're okay. It's just not a game that I feel like I would ever spend money on myself.
I'm kind of half and half on it. We'll see what happens.
Right. Yeah. You never know. So then we got the one that everyone was super excited for. I was all jazzed. Animal Crossing New Horizons. Oh, yeah. I'm an Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing is one of those series that like I've been meaning to get into since the beginning. I haven't.
Oh, man.
But it looks fun, and everyone's just telling me, like, play Animal Crossing.
Oh,
please.
Man.
Some people are telling me, like, dude, just go out and grab New Leaf.
New Leaf. Just... Okay, so I am an Animal Crossing enthusiast, to say the least. Back on the GameCube, I played the heck out of it. It was originally on the GameCube version that we got was actually they played on the 64 in Japan.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, and so we got it on GameCube. I played the heck out of it. I didn't play the DS one or the Wii one, and then I just went straight to New Leaf. And New Leaf is easily my favorite game on the Nintendo 3DS. I still pop it in every now and then, and I'll just play a couple days and go back and forth. I think that now having played a lot of Stardew Valley, I kind of go back and forth on which I think is a better model. So, like in Stardew Valley, you know, similar type game, but you can play like a day. And so it doesn't run off the system clock. It just a day lasts about like 5-10 minutes. And so you can just like, oh, okay, cool. I can play a couple of days. Whereas Animal Crossing runs off the system clock. So the idea is that you would just play it for 10 minutes a day every day, but you can't really progress further. And so it looks like they're fixing that with this one because you would always just run out of things to do because you can only do so much in a day. And so it seems like they said you're going to get rewarded for more things in this game. And so, like, even stuff is like picking up weeds and stuff like that, you'll now get rewarded for. So it'll allow, my hope is it'll give you just kind of some more stuff to do so that you're not just checking in every day. But yeah, Animal Crossing, I'm all about for. I will probably buy this digitally because I will play it so much that I just won't. It's not going to be a game that I want to have sitting in my 3DS because I will want to play it. So I'll just, that way I can go back to it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think a lot of people are bummed about the like late release for it, I guess.
Yeah. Did you see why?
That's like the one. Huh?
Did you see why?
I actually don't know why.
Okay, so it is getting a late release because Nintendo said a work-life balance is very important for us with our employees.
Oh.
Yeah, so, which I'm like, that's awesome. I can wait. It's fine with me.
But you know what? That's fine with me because you hear the horror stories of like what the people at like BioWare went mm-hmm. through and stuff, like making like Mass Effect Andromeda and was one of the last ones to come out, I think. Crap, what game was it? It's not coming to me right now, but, you know, lately a lot of stuff has surfaced on... I think it was one of the newer Dragon Age games. But, you know, a lot of stories have been surfacing about what's been happening over there, so to know that Nintendo is practicing, like, this kind of, like, you know, we care about our employees thing, is like, that speaks volumes. So it's like you're trying to treat your employees with quality, and I think in turn they will put out a quality game.
Right.
So, yeah.
I think it's super cool. I think it's, you know, hey, I'm completely fine with that, that we want to have a work-life balance. You know, Breath of the Wild got delayed a bunch of times because they're like, we want to make sure it's the best game. They completely said, they said we're starting over on Metroid Prime. It's like, I'm totally fine waiting for a game if it's good. Because how often do we play a game where like it was rushed and then the game just sucks? If you make something good, it's good forever. When it comes to a story, when it comes to a game, it's like I'd rather like Breath of the Wild. I'll probably go back to Breath of the Wild like years from now. I still go back to Final Fantasy VII. I still go back to Super Mario World. I still go back to Animal Crossing New Leaf. When talking about Animal Crossing, you know, I every once in a while I've plugged in my old GameCube for a bit and checked out my old town in the original Animal Crossing. So I'm completely fine with waiting for a game to make sure it's good. And so I'm sure that's part of the other reason too. So all right.
Yeah,
well,
I consider myself a patient person, so yeah.
Yeah.
So
okay, so then we have two big, huge final things to cover here.
Yes.
The new DLC character in Smash Bros. So there was one. We were told we were getting at least one. And then we got a second one. And the teaser was hilarious. You know, they started with the teaser we got for King K. Rool, who was a very requested character. Except King K. Rool was then sleeping in the cabin as Donkey Kong was eating things. They look out the window and they see what clearly looks like a certain old character from the N64, a rare character, and then it's a shadow, and then it's the Duck Hunt dog, and he's laughing, and I thought that was hysterical. And then here he comes, flies down, and basically knocks him out, and that is Banjo-Kazooie is finally in Smash Brothers after all this time, after all this speculation, and it's awesome. It's just so cool to see Banjo-Kazooie in Smash, where he belongs.
It was so cleverly done, and you got that cast of characters from Rare, and you know it's, you know, because Microsoft bought Rare, but Banjo-Kazooie is an original Nintendo character, so it was great to kind of see them work together in this to bring us a character that had been requested and wanted for probably arguably since the Melee days.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is.
Certainly, you know, on Melee, there was the big internet rumors, right, that Sonic was in it, and then that wasn't true. And then Sonic was in,
right,
in Brawl, as was Solid Snake. And so that really is what opened up the kind of guest character thing. And so, you know, like, Sonic always kind of made sense because, I don't know, it's just like Sonic felt like I could see Sonic fighting Mario. And then at that point, you know, Sega wasn't what it was back in the day and so all that stuff. And so in Sonic, there were tons of Sonic games just on Nintendo platforms by that point. And so that made sense. And even Solid Snake, I mean, Solid Snake started, right, you know, kind of on Nintendo. And he was on the Twin Snakes and stuff like that. So that one didn't feel as weird to me. But then with the Wii U version, we started getting everybody. We got Ryu, like Mega Man. Cloud was the one that was kind of like, okay, that's kind of weird. And so then, you know, then this time around, it's like, all right, we got like Persona. We've gotten, you know, all kinds of characters. And so to get Banjo-Kazooie just feels right.
No, yeah, it's been a long time coming, and I can't wait for the character to be released. I just can't get over that video of them pressing up against the window and just like Garou was so funny.
Oh, I know.
Just like plastered up against it with like, oh my god, I'm so ready. I am so ready.
I am. Oh, I am too. All right. So then the final reveal was what I thought was just going to be DLC, but is in fact the Breath of the Wild sequel.
How about that?
Yeah.
Already in the works, man. Ooh. I still have to play the first one, though.
Mm.
But I've watched enough video of the first one to just know how spectacular that game looks like.
I've played through it three times.
Breath of the Wild. I did not think we were going to get a second one.
I'm glad they did, because there's so much more you could do with that world. And so to me, it's like it's going to be the Majora's Mask of Breath of the Wild. You know, it's going to be a direct sequel. You're going to get to play in the same. I mean, Majora's Mask doesn't take place in the same universe, but it in the same world, I should say. But it's the same mechanics, but expanded. And so I think that is exactly what Breath of the Wild needs.
Nice. Now here's a question. Do I need to play any certain kind of Zelda game before I play Breath of the Wild? Oh, okay.
Nope.
All right.
Nope.
That's
you can jump right into Breath
of the Wild. Easy decision.
You can jump right,
there,
you can jump
right
into Breath of the Wild. Now, I think Breath of the Wild is, you would appreciate it more having played like a little bit of all of the Zeldas, just because there's references to all of them, but you can make the argument for just about all the Zeldas that there's references to all the other ones as well. So I don't think that there's any Zelda game, maybe with the exception of Majora's Mask, where I would say you should play something else before it. I think you can pick any Zelda game and jump right in and have a great time.
I think for the most part that's true with what Zelda games I have played, but I just wasn't fully sure like what like the deal was with Breath of the Wild.
Nope.
Though, so I figured,
nope,
why
you
not?
Can jump right in. You trust me, you'll love it.
Kind of like the port for It's Link's Awakening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like yeah, that game takes place in a whole different like land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not Hyrule, so it's like this own different story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you could pick that up and just
that could easily be your first Zelda.
Same deal with Seasons and Ages, because Link is transferred to a different world as well in that one.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this E3 was like a real like extended long ride. It was pretty good this year. So yeah.
Yeah,
a lot of great stuff.
Yeah, this E3, definitely like years past, I feel like E3s have just been like spectacular. This one I felt like it was just really solid, and then the end with Nintendo was just like yes, yes, yes. So yeah, I felt good.
This is the year for Nintendo.
Oh, absolutely.
This is it.
Yeah, absolutely. So all right. Well, was there any other games that we didn't mention that you wanted to talk about, Adam?
Well, I'm just gonna give like a quick shout out to Monster Hunter World's Iceborne expansion that will be coming out. You know, just some classic monsters in the series are returning, like Tigrex and Narcacuga, so I'm excited for that, and we get a whole new map to explore, and new weapons, new armor. Hunters, get ready. We're in it for the long haul. And I'm excited that it's a game that I've been debating about if I would play it or not. And I ultimately decided I wasn't because it had one thing that I thought was really lacking, and it was something that the series had built on. But Fallout 76 is finally getting human NPCs. Human characters in Fallout I always felt like were a real part of the world building in Fallout. When you're traveling, you always want to talk to the characters you run into. It helps build on the lore, but really in 76, most of the characters that you would talk to in this game that were human were just players. So it was kind of like, I thought to myself, I don't know why you would do that. Like, so it kind of makes me think to myself, yeah, you know what? I might give 76 a shot now that they're putting NPCs to give it more of like that classic Fallout feel to it. So yeah, that's it for me, really.
Yeah. All right, cool. All right, well, guys, it was a ton of fun. As always, I always love having Adam on the show because I think, you know, we always just have so much fun talking about games. And you and I, you and I always talk for about 5 hours anyway before we start recording about anything and everything.
So we got a show to do, we realized.
Yeah, we're always like, oh yeah, we need to. We probably should start recording. It's great. So, Adam, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at King of Funk Style.
Okay. You can find me anywhere on the internet at Super Gains Bros. I run a various number other of podcasts at this point. It's getting back to being quite a lot, but you can check out all of those there, certainly if you follow me on Twitter. So, all right. As always, guys, thanks.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQBar plant protein bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQBars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.